So we've sung together our first lesson this morning that comes from the Gospel of Luke. This is a version of the Magnificat, the song that Mary sang. She had traveled to see her cousin Elizabeth, who had been barren for many, many years and was with child. And as she approached, Elizabeth could feel the child in her womb moving and was moved to call Mary blessed. And then Mary breaks into song. And I'm going to read these words from the prophet Isaiah, and you will see that her song has a familiar sound. It's from old days when the people were longing for God to come again into their lives. Hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful at heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground spring of water. The haunt of the jackal shall become a swamp and the grass shall become reeds and rushes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What a beautiful image, right, of the desert blooming and of people being healed. It's the good news for us today. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Holy is your name, O God, and we are grateful for this word of promise to us from the prophet Isaiah and for the song of Mary, which reminds us again that your transformation, that your recreation is for all the world. We offer this prayer and ask that you would send your Spirit so that we might understand our place in that plan. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this morning we are talking about sacred spaces or places, depending on how you think about this. And so I'm wondering if I could invite you for just a few moments to imagine in your mind your sacred place. Now, it could be this place, and that's okay too, but most of us have another place that we think of as sacred, as holy, as set apart in some way. And it may not be the same for all of us. It may be someplace different, and it may be someplace that this year has been sacred for you. So I just want you to take a few moments to kind of identify that sacred place in your life. Bring a picture of it to your mind. So if it's a room or a building or a place out in creation, just bring it to mind. Try and get as many details as you possibly can in your head about it. Okay, now that you have that place in your head, tell me what makes that sacred for you, that place. Anybody, just tell me what about that place seems to make it sacred. It's peaceful, okay? There's love there. Mm-hmm. There's rest, okay? It's warm. Today would be a nice day for a warm space. Anybody else? comfort. There's some comfort there. Nature. There's something, have to be out in nature, experiencing nature. Solitude. It's kind of a place where you can get away by yourself and such. Anybody else? There's beauty. Quiet. There's familiarity to it. It's a place you can go, whether in your mind or in person, right? Anybody else? Is this a place where you connect with God easily, more easily? Is it a place where you can count on connecting with God? Mm-hmm. The place for me is in Toms River, New Jersey, what we call the Shore House. It's on a creek, and across the creek is this beautiful wooded area. Except that when I was really, really little, somebody purchased that area and decided they were going to put a development in there. So they tore down all of the beautiful cedar trees and ran over all the plants and ran off all the birds. And, you know, it was just piles and piles of sand. And then they went bankrupt. And it sat like that for as long as I can remember. This used to be a place when we were kids that we would go exploring in. We could walk up the areas, you know, these little marshy areas where the water drained into the creek and find all kinds of things, you know. And we could make forts in the trees. And here it was all sand, piles of sand. And somehow, even as kids, we could make that fun. Piles of sand, you know, you'd bring your trucks over, you'd run up and down the hills. But still, it was not the same. And as a kid, I didn't really grasp what all was happening there, or the good news of this bankruptcy for me. Because when they went bankrupt, of course, the property reverted back to the town. And as I came into my 20s or so, college age or whatever, things started to recover on the other side. Small trees were coming up. Some of the vegetation was coming back. Some of the sand had been washed away. And the county decided to make it a park. Just a few years ago, I looked across the way, and there was this sacred place again. This place that we loved as children is now a park, but the trees are actually almost as big as they were when we were kids. The best part of the day is just as the sun is setting, everything on that side of the creek is golden. And I always think of this when I think of this story from Isaiah. Where Isaiah is telling the people who have been taken away into exile, the people who feel lost and alone. The prophet speaks to them of a day when the desert will bloom, when the water will roll and things will grow. Crocuses in the desert. And when I think of this holy space, I wonder what it was about this particular image that gave the people of Israel so much hope. And I think it's because it reminds them of the days of the Exodus, when they first traveled through the wilderness for many, many years, right? A place that wasn't necessarily desert, but was dry and rocky and dangerous. And worse yet, it wasn't home and it wasn't the promised land. It was just the place they were traveling through for a while. And it was a place of great testing of their faith in God, was it not? And there was great testing of God in the wilderness as well, was it not? But it was also a place where they were healed as a people and they grew to be a community. And here Isaiah is reminding them of that journey through the wilderness, only this time it will be beautiful and it will be blessed. See, God takes those spaces that are dry and disastrous and seeming without life, and transforms them. That's the promise. That the places in our world where there is darkness and ruin and no hope, God promises to bring blessing and hope. So this morning, as we are about our work and our lives through this Advent season, I want to invite you now to think about those places in your life, or maybe in the world's life, where there is desert or dryness or brokenness. And imagine for a moment if God can transform those places. And they might actually be a place in our community where that's happening, or a place in our world, but they could also be the space between us where God is bringing about that recreation and that reconciliation and that healing. This is the promise of the God in Isaiah, and the song that Mary sings as she remembers this child that is to be born. It's about a God who transforms and saves not just one or two, but all of creation. A God who goes specifically into those dark places and broken places and diseased places in our lives and in the world, to try and bring about blessing, right? And growth and flourishing. The challenge for us sometimes is to see it happening, right? Because if you look at the news today, all they tell you about is where everything is going to, you know, in a hat basket. It's a hand basket, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Always get that a little confused. But you know, we seem to get story after story about the places that are being destroyed and the lives that are becoming undone. But we don't often get to hear the stories of where life is coming back again, where things are starting to sprout. I remember that I saw a program about Mount St. Helens, you know, the volcano exploded when we were kids, I think, right? Or in high school or somewhere. I mean, it's been a while. But when it exploded, it destroyed everything, right? Around it. Everything was flattened. I mean, literally flattened. And yet, within years, things started to come back. Even in these pools, these lakes of water that had been filled with ash, suddenly microbial organisms were starting to develop, and nobody knows how they get there. Seriously, it's not like they restock the pond. They just start developing there at their very smallest. And I think sometimes that's what we need to be attending to, is the small ways in which things are being recreated, in which this world is being transformed. And not only look for them, but shout and sing about them. Right? So, maybe Marge can say something about taking the gifts down to Erie House. How excited were they?
Very. There was two men that came and greeted us. They were so excited to have all of those gifts, and they took them up to a good path. They did it directly to Erie House. This time they had business going on in Erie, they could have taken, but last year there was this huge room that was covered in gifts. And then they have a party on Friday night and they grab all the gifts, and the children get their gifts on Saturday morning.
These small places in which we are bringing light into the darkness. Yes? Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
And a thank you to all of you who contributed to those gifts. When we talk about our PADS program, some days it doesn't seem to be enough, right? Unless you happen to be talking with someone down there who is so happy to be out of the cold, so exhausted that they just collapse onto that mattress and are grateful for a mattress on the floor. These are signs of God breaking into these dark and barren places in our world. And we are invited to be a part of that transformation, a part of that saving that God has planned for all of us and for all of creation. Chesapeake Bay is another place that I love to go. I love to go to the Chesapeake Bay, anywhere along the East Coast on that inland waterway. But a few years back, that bay was dying. Dying because of pollution, stuff being dumped into it, things that people throw into it. And I don't know who actually sounded the alarm, but somebody said, probably a crabber, who said, "We're losing our lives here. We've got to do something about this." And so they started a campaign to clean up the bay. The crabs are coming back. The fish are coming back. Now, it's not completely cleaned, and we still have issues around it, but we forget sometimes that there are things happening that are bringing life to this world. Life where things were dying. So this week, as you go out about your Advent, I want you to look for those places, not only where there's darkness and there's brokenness and there's destruction, but also see if you can't find a little sign of life, of where God is bringing healing, reconciliation, hope, so that together we can sing this song of Mary, of a world transformed, of people lifted up, of God's love being born. Amen.